Welcome to the Bayshore Podcast. As listeners each week, whether through iTunes or through the church app, you're part of our church family. We would love for you to share stories of how Bayshore is impacting your life by sending us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. As always, you can find all kinds of information and content on our website, bayshorecc.org. There's also our church app, which you could download by going to bayshorecc.org/app. So thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope that today's message is a blessing to you.
That is hilarious right there. Listen, two things about that video. If you're a kid in the room, sometimes when Santa's sleigh breaks down and like his elves are working on it in the shop, Santa likes to drive a really, really, really old silver Hyundai. It sounds weird, but Santa's going to drive what Santa is going to drive. The second thing about that video is that girl got a moped and was bummed. I would lose my mind if I got a moped for Christmas. Just in case you're shopping for your pastor for Christmas, okay? There's an idea right there. But anyway, welcome to our new series, our Christmas series called Merry and Bright. And I don't know about you all, but I'm feeling pretty merry and bright right now. And it's mainly because I'm not wearing that cat sweater anymore. Sorry, cat people. I couldn't preach in that sweater. I just feel like it would be a spiritual problem or something. I don't really know. But anyway, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to our online family. Merry Christmas to our Bayshore app listeners. Merry Christmas to our podcast listeners. Merry Christmas to Facebook Live. And Facebook Live, we know what you're doing right now. We know what they're doing, don't we? They're on Amazon shopping for Christmas is what they're doing. And so just get a moped and drag it to your cart right now for your pastor. I'll take it. But can we get a little Christmas cheer for our online family? Let's give it up for them. Woo! I love it. So guys, it's Christmas time. Is anybody excited that it's Christmas? Anybody at all? You seem a little down. You're excited? Let's be real. Is anybody a little stressed out that it's Christmas? Come on. Okay. Yeah, a little bit. Now, if you're a little stressed out that it's Christmas, it's okay. In 17 days, it's all going to be over. You're going to wake up on December 26th. It's going to be over. And you're going to roll out of bed. You're going to think, finally. And then somebody on your Facebook feed is going to post this picture right here. It's only 364 days until Christmas. Unfriend that person right away. Have you seen this picture before? But anyway, okay, wherever you're at with Christmas, I love Christmas, and in our house, we have some Christmas traditions, and one of our Christmas traditions is that we decorate for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. Does anybody do that? Okay, yeah, some of you guys do that. Now listen, I'll be honest, I feel really bad the day after Thanksgiving because of what I did to myself on Thanksgiving, and so like I'm trying to like decorate the Christmas tree. I got the meat sweats while I'm doing that still. Okay, so just go ahead and picture that in this illustration. But my job, Stacy gives me a job on decorating day, and my job is to get all the decorations out of the attic and downstairs. Okay, anybody, that's your job? Okay, it's exercise, right? And we need to exercise the day after Thanksgiving, so that's good. So the very first thing I always do is I get down the Christmas tree box, and this is literally our Christmas tree box. It looks destroyed, doesn't it? Why? Because it will be a Christmas miracle if the box you bought the Christmas tree in actually fit the Christmas tree. Like, I will pay good money for a Christmas tree box that fit the Christmas tree. And so I get down our Christmas tree box, and it's destroyed. And so that's normally the first thing I get down. And then the next thing I normally get down are the Christmas lights. And I always look at them. I'm like, who in the world put these in the attic like this? And that's when Stacey's like, honey, you did. It's your job. You did that. And so, anyway, she's right about that. But there's always the moment where you, like, go to light the Christmas lights, you know, and that's always a big moment. And so can we do a little drum roll, please? Like, Chevy Chase drum roll, please? Okay, you ready? Was that happening to you guys, too? Okay, so they didn't work. All right, that's pretty normal. And then the next thing I normally get down are our Christmas ornaments. And this year, my wife, Stacy, she made a pile of throwaway ornaments because they were too old or she didn't want them anymore. And so, like, I'm taking a little breather from my job, which I try to find as many of those on Christmas or on Thanksgiving Day as I can. And so I'm, like, sitting there doing nothing, and I'm looking through the pile of throwaway ornaments that Stacy has made. And that's when I found this, which is my baby's first Christmas ornament from 1982. And so I'm thinking, oh, like, clearly this is a mistake. This shouldn't be in that pile. And Stacy's like, no, honey, you have like 18 babies' first Christmas ornaments, which I don't even think that's possible. And she's like, you're going to deal with one less, okay? And so I'm struggling a little bit with that. So this was in the throwaway pile. That's 100% true. But you know what I found on our tree that didn't make it into the throwaway pile? This oversized penguin, and it just says gone fishing. This did not make it into the throwaway pile. Okay, just pray for me. I'm struggling with bitterness right now. But then I get down, maybe my favorite Christmas decoration of all, which is this right here. And this thing is really, really, really old. And this was my mom's. When she passed away, I got this. And so it's old. Like, I always worry it's going to burn down our house, because this is not wired to code, people. And so anyway, I got this out. And when I got this out, me and Nora helped set this up with me. And there's a star that goes on the top of this thing. And I told Nora, I was like, Nora, this was my mom's Christmas tree. And she's like, and she said, can I put the star on the top? And I said, well, I was going to let your mother put the star on the top, but your mother is throwing away my childhood over there with the ornaments. And so, yes, you can, girl. And so she puts the star on the top, which it barely doesn't even stay there. But like when I see that ornament or that decoration, I kind of go back to Christmases with my mom and papa when I was a kid, and I get sentimental and I get a little sad. Does that happen to anybody else? Get a little sad. And that lasts until I go up in the attic and I see all the rolls of wrapping paper. And that's when I remember, oh no, I got to shop for Christmas still. Correction, I haven't bought anything for Christmas yet. Some of you are like, I still haven't paid for Christmas last year yet. And so that's what decorating day looks like in my house. And so listen, it's Christmas time. I love this time of year. It's a wonderful time of year. There's music. There's lights that don't really work, okay? There's weird coffee flavors. There's Christmas movies, which, by the way, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. I don't know what you all are talking about with that, but it's a wonderful time of year. But Christmas is also a hard time of year. There's all this financial pressure. You're like, I got to buy all these things for people that I'm not really sure if I even like all that much. You got to buy all this stuff. Maybe you have to work a lot of overtime this time of year just to kind of meet year-end goals at work. Maybe there's not going to be somebody sitting around the Christmas tree this year that was sitting around the Christmas tree in years past. Maybe it's hard because your spouse has thrown away your childhood around the Christmas tree. I don't know what it is, but even though this is called the most wonderful time of year, it's not always all that wonderful. And so today is all about how you can be merry and bright, even when things don't seem all that merry and bright. And I'm calling today's message, Light Up the Dark. Light Up the Dark. So if you're ready to light up the dark, I just wanted you to turn around and talk to three people and say, light it up. Okay, light it up, light it up, light it up. So some of you have taken that way out of context, and I would like to remind you that we are in church, people, okay? All right, so we're going to look at the Christmas story 700 years before it started, with a guy named Isaiah. And so if you brought your Bible or you brought your Bible app, you can head on over to Isaiah. And I know some of you are like, I don't remember Isaiah from the Christmas story, okay? That's because Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet who literally predicted Jesus's birth 700 years before he showed up. So what we're going to read is 700 years before the manger, 700 years before Jesus showed up in that cave in Bethlehem. And Isaiah is going to show us what Jesus's birth is going to mean. So let's look at this, and we're going to use the lights just to kind of get the effect of this verse. And here's what Isaiah says. 700 years before Jesus, he says, the people who walk in darkness, let's bring down the lights. You feel that? Sometimes we feel that. We're walking in darkness. He says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great what? Light. Let's bring them up. There it is. So we're going to repeat this again. He says, for those who live in a land of deep darkness, you feel like that? You feel like that sometimes? We live in a land of deep darkness. He says, a light will shine. Boom. What is this great light that he's talking about? It's Jesus. And so Isaiah's message is simple, okay? His message is, there may be darkness right now for some of you guys in the room. There may be darkness for our world right now. But listen, a light is coming and his name is Jesus. Well, why do we get so excited about Christmas around here? Why do I get so excited? What is Christmas about? It's about God's light shining through your darkness. It's about God's light shining into our world. It's about God's light shining into your life. It's about you shining his light to other people in your life. And so how can Christmas get a little merrier and brighter in your life this holiday season? Well, if you're taking notes, the first thing is this. The first thing you want to do, if you want to be a little merrier and brighter this year, is look for the light. Look for the light. Okay, so does anybody have anybody around you whose house or whose yard looks like Buddy the Elf lives there? You know, anybody have anybody around you like that? Okay, maybe it's you. Maybe that's why you're all quiet. It's your yard. Okay, we're talking, there's lights all over the bushes. There's candy canes lining the driveway like it's going to the North Pole, but it's really just going to the single car garage right there. There's a 8-foot giant inflatable snow globe on the front lawn, which I don't know where that came from. But anyway, have you seen houses like this? Okay, that's not what my house looks like. I have a strict, I only put 2 strands of lights on the outside of my house policy each year. But this year, a Christmas miracle happened. Okay? Because I got down my 2 strands of lights from Kmart, and before I plugged them in, I just said a little prayer, and you guys might want to do this, okay? I just said this prayer. I was just like, God, I do all I can for you. I'm gonna preach on Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. while everybody else is just sitting out there relaxing. I'm standing the whole time. You guys are sitting, you're relaxing. I'm like, you know, I wear cat sweaters for you, God. I do things for you. If you could just do me one thing, if you could just make these 2 strands of lights from Kmart not light up, then I wouldn't have to put the decorations on the outside of my house. So I said this prayer, and you'll never believe what happened. I plugged it in, and they didn't come on. Like, Kmart came through for me, baby. And so, anyway, I was excited because I didn't put any decorations on the outside of my house. But all Christmas season long, this year, my daughter, Nora, has been like, Daddy, we need to put Christmas lights on the outside of our house. And every time, I'm like, okay, Nora, let's put on our jackets. Let's put on our shoes. And we take a little walk out to the end of the driveway. And I just tell her, we turn around and we look at the house. And I say, Nora, why would we decorate our house when we can just look at Mr. Nick, our neighbor's yard? And look how pretty it looks. And she's like, it looks so pretty. And so this doesn't do it justice at all. But this is my neighbor, Mr. Nick's yard. And you can't really see it, but he has a Darth Vader inflatable right here. It's like 7 foot tall. It is amazing, okay? I don't know that our HOA thinks it's amazing, but I love it, okay? It's awesome. And so we look at Mr. Nick's yard, and then Nora always looks back at our house, and she says, but Daddy, our house looks like the black hole. Which it does. Okay, here's a picture of my house right here. I thought that was funny. I was pretty proud of that one. Anyway, but does anybody get a little out Christmas by your neighbor? Anybody in the room, you get a little out Christmas by your neighbor? Anybody at all? Am I the only one? A few of you. Okay, listen, I have a good idea. I saw this on the internet this week. This is a picture of what you can do if your neighbor out Christmases you. Just put ditto on the outside of your house. That is brilliant right there. But here's the thing that I think is interesting about this time of year, the Christmas season. The Christmas season is the darkest season of the year. Like, it's dark 13 to 14 hours a day. It gets light around 7, a little bit before 7 in the morning. It gets dark around 5 at night. And like, it's dark a long time. But Christmas lights and Christmas have a way of lighting up the dark, right? And Isaiah says there's going to be a light in the darkness. Let's look at that verse again, verse 2 again. We already read this, but he says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. That light is Jesus. For those who live, where do they live? In a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You ever felt like you're living in a land of deep darkness? Like maybe things aren't good. Maybe that's how you feel this Christmas. Listen, don't miss this. Isaiah says, in your darkness, a light will shine. Now, when he said this, here's what's interesting about this, is the light hadn't shined yet. It was 700 years before the light shined, but a light was coming. And so maybe for you, that's how you feel. You're like, oh, the light isn't shining. Okay, like I'm plugging it in. There is no light. But listen, okay, the light is coming. God's goodness is coming. And you may not see it today. You may not see it tomorrow. You may not see it in 2018. You may not even see it in 2019. But Jesus specializes in bringing light to the dark situations in our life. I believe that. Now, that sounds nice, but let's get a little practical. How can we get a little merry and bright when we feel like things are the dark hole in our lives, okay? Here's an idea. What if instead of this year, what if instead of you making a Christmas wish list, what if you made a list of who am I letting influence me in my life? What if you made a who am I letting influence me list? I just got back from Mexico. Me and Stacy and a bunch of couples went on this vacation down there, and we literally did nothing, which is what vacation is about. And we just sat there. We stayed at this all-inclusive place. We stayed on the beach, and we ate a lot of food. Everything was included. And so my jeans aren't skinnier than normal. I just ate a lot of food down there, guys. You guys having fun? I'm gonna get you laughing at the end of this, by the end. All right. So anyway, so Bo and Katie, Bo, our worship leader, and his wife Katie were one of the couples who went down there with us. And every night we would go out to dinner, and you could order whatever you wanted. And so one night, Bo ordered something off the menu that I didn't know what it was, which isn't unusual because I never knew what anything on the menu was. And so he ordered something on the menu, and it came to him, and he started passing it around for everybody in our group to try. And everybody in our group was trying it. And so it got to me, and Bo was like, "You got to try this." I was like, "What is it? I'm going to try it." And he said, "It's octopus." I said, "Leave our table right now." Guys, I didn't know people ate octopus. Especially Bo Dukes from Laurel, Delaware. I didn't know he ate octopus. But everybody at the table had eaten it. Everybody was pressuring me. "You got to try it. You got to try it." And so out of like reluctance, but my friends were pushing me and influencing me, I tried the octopus, which is the weirdest thing I've ever eaten. Until the next night when we went to the French restaurant. When one of the guys in our group named Jeremy, he ordered something called faux de gras. I'm probably saying that wrong, but I grew up in Gumbro, okay? I didn't grow up in France. I don't know how to say it. So he ordered faux de gras. It came to the table. Here's a picture of the faux de gras or whatever. It's coming. There it is. Beautiful, right? So everybody's trying it, and it gets to me, and they say, "Joe, you got to try it." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "Don't worry about it." You tell me not to worry about it, I'm worried, okay? That's what I do, okay? But everybody at the table had tried it. Everybody was pressuring me. So I was like, "I'll eat this faux de gras." How do you say it? Somebody tell me. Yeah. Okay, that stuff. All right. So I tried it. No lie. It was amazing. Like, I was like, "This is dessert. This is heaven right here. What is this, guys?" And you know what that is? It's pureed duck liver fat. I had octopus and duck liver in my belly at the same time, you guys. I'm not going to Mexico with my friends anymore. But guys, your friends influence you. The people who are in your life, they influence you. And so you may not want to do a certain thing. You may not want to act a certain way or like a certain thing or eat pureed duck fat liver stuff, okay? But who you let in your life influences your life. And maybe you feel like you're in a dark season right now. Maybe you're down. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe something happened. I don't know what it is. But be intentional about who you let influence you in your life in dark seasons. Be intentional about what you let influence you in your life in dark seasons. And so here's an idea. What if you just surrounded yourself with people who brighten you up? People who love you. Surround yourself with people who love Jesus. And you might say, "Well, I don't know where all these people are." Here we are, right here. That's right. Right here is a great place. Surround yourself with people who brighten you up. Listen to the things that brighten you up, okay? Some of you, like, you're walking around listening to Linda Ronstadt. "You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good." Turn on some Jingle Bells, baby. Right? Rocking around the Christmas tree, whatever you got to do. You can't always choose what happens to you. But as an adult, you can always choose who you let influence you. We were driving back from the airport late Monday night. So we're all tired. We're in the back of Bo and Katie's Tahoe. And so we're just tired. We're sunburned. Our belts all seem way too tight, okay? And so we're just trying to get home. It's late. And out of nowhere, Katie from the front of the Tahoe, Katie is Bo's wife, she just starts talking. And she's like, at this point in my life, I want to be really intentional about who I let influence me. And she said, "I want to just be intentional about being around people who love Jesus, people who talk good about their spouse. I want to be around people who honor God with their money." And she said, "I realize that the people I hang out with is like who I become." I was like, dang, Katie is dropping nuggets from the front of the Tahoe. I'm like back here almost falling asleep, and like Katie is going for it. I'm like, Katie, keep going. I'm writing my message right now. This is good. But that's true. Who you're around, a lot of times, is who you become. A few weeks ago, I was out in the lobby, and this guy who comes to our church, he just came up to me and like gave me this bear hug. And it was like more of a bear hug than normal. And I'm kind of a side hugger kind of guy at best. And so like he gave me this bear hug. And I was like, what's up? And he said, hey, man, I just want to tell you I'm moving. And I was like, what are you moving for? Are you moving because of college or, you know, a girl? Or like, why are you moving? He said, no. He said, I'm moving. And he started telling me his story. And he struggled with substance abuse for a long time, over 10 years. And he said, I every time I get clean, I just relapse, and it's just been a struggle for me. And he said, I figured out that for me, what it is whenever I'm in this town and around my friends and a certain group of people, I just fall back into that. And so he said, I'm moving so I can get clean. I'm going to get a clean start. And so he did move, and he is clean today. And I love that story right there because he was intentional about who he was letting influence him. And so what if you wrote a who am I letting influence me list? Maybe there's some people on your list that you need to make a clean break from, like they're on the naughty list. You ever met someone like that? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not saying they're bad people, although they might be. But what if it's just because you don't need to be around them? Even if you love them, because they just pull you into a dark place. And so we got to be careful who we want, who we let around us. And so if you want to be merrier and brighter this year, get around people who bring you joy. Get around people who smile more than they complain. Get around people who love other people and they love their spouse. Get around people who brighten up the room when they walk in the room. Now, they may make you eat pureed duck liver sometimes. But get around those people. And so your life becomes merry and bright when you surround yourself with merry and bright people. And so even in our dark seasons, especially in our dark seasons, when we're living in those deep darkness times, we need to be around people like that. So you got to look for the light. The second thing you got to do, if you want to be merry and bright this Christmas, is trade obligation for celebration. Trade obligation for celebration. Now, growing up, we always watch a Charlie Brown Christmas, that Christmas special, which is like the best ever, okay? I love that. And so I found this Charlie Brown comic strip this week that I thought was really great for this, okay? So Charlie Brown says, this is my depressed stance. See the depressed stance right there? He says, when you're depressed, it makes a lot of difference how you stand. The worst thing you can do is straighten up, hold your head up high, because then you'll start to feel better. If you're going to get any joy out of being depressed, you got to stand like this. Listen, everybody just say on three. That's bad advice, Charlie Brown. There it is. I didn't even have to count. You're in it. I love it, okay? Sometimes at Christmas, we get in our depressed stance. We're like, oh, there's no mistletoe in this house. There's no money in the bank. I got to work overtime again. The Christmas lights don't work again this year. By the way, they're never going to work, okay? Just so you know, it's a ploy to get you to buy more Christmas lights, okay? You're like, you know, some of you are like, you know, Pastor Joel, he's on vacation in Mexico eating faux de gras, and I'm eating ham sandwiches. And we get in our depressed stance, and things get dark. And Isaiah says, in our darkness, a light is going to shine. And then he says in verse 4, I love this, he says, for you. Now he's talking about God. So you, God, will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burdens from their shoulders. Is anybody down for God to lift the burdens off your shoulders? Listen, if God were here, okay, which he is, he'd be looking around at us saying, like, you look tight in your shoulders. You need a massage. I'm going to help you out with that because I'm going to lift the heavy burdens off your shoulders. He goes on and says, you, talking about God, God will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. Everybody say, the army of Midian. Everybody say, I'm confused. Okay, so what in the world is Isaiah talking about? Okay, so the army of Midian is a reference to a guy named Gideon's story in Judges chapter 7. It's a great story. So Gideon oversaw God's army, and God kept on making Gideon's army smaller and smaller and smaller. And smaller. And the Midianites, the enemy, that army just kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And God got Gideon's army down to 300 people. And I'm sure Gideon was like, we is small, God. But God got Gideon's army right to where he wanted it so that Gideon had to depend on God. So the only way they could experience victory is if God made it happen. And so God gave Gideon the battle plan. And so here's what the battle plan was. He said, okay, Gideon, get all your guys to get torches. All 300 people are going to get torches. They're going to light the torches. And then they're going to put a clay pot over the top of the torch so it's dark. And then you're going to march up to the Midianite army, the giant army at nighttime with your lit torches under the clay pot. And at once, you're all going to break the clay pot and then blow a horn. And that's how you're going to win the battle. Now, if I'm Gideon, I'm like, Can we talk about this battle plan? Like, can we at least like watch the movie Braveheart, God, and get some other battle strategies? Can we like yell freedom or like instead of blowing a trombone here? Like, I don't know how we're gonna win here. But Gideon follows God's battle plan, and it shouldn't have worked. But one night, it's dark. The 300 people, they get their torches, they're lit. They put a clay pot on top of the torch, and they march up to the Midianite army, and they surround them. There's only 300 people in this little army, and there's a giant bunch of people sleeping, the Midianites. You guys with me? Okay. And so all at once, it's dark. They break the clay pots. When they break the clay pots, the flame from the clay pots, the light just lights up the darkness. And then they all blow the horn, and the Midianites all wake up. They hear this giant crash from the clay pots, and so they're like, oh no, what is this? And then they see light surrounding them, and they're like, we're defeated, and they run away, and Gideon's army wins. And I'm sure Gideon was like, wow, that actually worked. And so listen, well, what's the point of that? Okay, the point is sometimes in life, the odds are stacked against you. And just like God did for Gideon's army, okay, he can break through the darkness in your life and you can experience victory. But when you're in those dark seasons, you got to depend on God like he's all you got, because he is all you got. And when you do that, I'm telling you, victory is going to come. It may not come in the form you're thinking of it, but victory is going to come. And that's worth celebrating right there. Now, at Christmas, have you ever noticed that sometimes we trade, or we get all caught up in the obligation and we kind of forget about the celebration? You know, we just kind of think like, oh no, we got to get the Christmas cards out in the mail. We got to buy the perfect Christmas present. Oh, we got to pay for the perfect Christmas payment or payment. It is a payment, right? Present. We got to wrap all the gifts. Unless it's Uncle Ralph, just throw his in a bag, okay? Like, don't worry about that. Like, it's okay. And then you think you gotta get all these Christmas things, and we got caught up all in the obligation of Christmas. You ever do that? But what about the celebration of Christmas? I feel like Christmas should be a party, you guys. I think Jesus' birth should be a party. And when you make it about him, Christmas gets better. When you depend on Jesus at Christmas, Christmas gets better. And I'm telling you, your Christmas is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter when you depend on him through Christmas, and you're not going to be walking in your depressed stance anymore. This past summer, I took my boy Nixon out to go surfing. Now, Nixon is 3, and I know all the concerned parents in the room are probably going to want me to write me an email. But listen, okay, when I take Nixon out surfing, he's got his puddle jumper on, he's safe, and I've had him on my board since he was like 1 year old. Now, I've always been with him up until this past summer. This past summer, my goal was to get him to ride waves all by himself. And so I'll push him into the waves. And listen, he can do it, which is cool, because I'll push him into the waves, and Nixon can stand up on his feet. But the problem is, Nixon doesn't stay where he's at on the board. What he likes to do is, once he's standing, he runs to the end, and he does a front flip off the board. And I'm like, Nixon, man, like, that's the opposite of what we're trying to do. We're trying to stay on the board, but he's having fun, so it's totally fine. And so this past summer, we were at the Indian River Inlet one day. I was pushing him in the waves. The waves were super small this day, and Stacy's on the beach, and she's like taking pictures and whatever the mom is doing. Okay, she's like taking pictures. And I'm pushing Nixon into these little waves, and he's surfing, and we're having a lot of fun. And then I had Nixon on the board, and I was standing next to the board. Out of nowhere, a big wave came in, like a big wave. And my first thought was, if I were on the surfboard, I'd want to ride that wave. And so Nixon probably really wants to ride that wave. And so I got a little ambitious, and I pushed Nixon into this wave that was like 17 times bigger than him. And like, he had a smile on his face, I had a smile on my face, and I'm like looking towards the beach as I'm pushing him into this wave. And that's when I see Stacy up on the beach, and she's looking at me like, I'm going to kill you. Like, your life is over. Okay, and I see all the other concerned parents, and they're like grabbing their phones, like calling 911 on this guy. Anyway, so I'm like pushing him in this way, but it was too late. I had already kind of let him go, and the wave took over, and all I could see from the back, other than Stacy, like, doing this to me, is I saw the board flip in the air and Nixon's feet flew over his head, which he normally does to himself when he's riding, but this time it just happened to him. And I thought, oh, that's it. Like, he wiped out bad. And I was like, he's going to need therapy? Me and Stacy are definitely going to need therapy. Maybe we can get like a 2-for-1 deal going on. I don't know. Like, and so I just like got over to him as quick as I can. He's in his puddle jumper. So I grabbed his puddle jumper, which helps him float. And I was like, Nixon, are you okay? And he looked at me and he was like, and he said, whoa. And I was like, whoa, like, are you okay? And he said, I want to ride another wave. I was like, good, because we're not going to die if you ride another wave. Okay, this is good. But life is all about what we do after we fall. Life is all about what we do after we fail. Life is all about what we do after we blow it. And at Christmas, okay, what we celebrate is that Jesus came here. Jesus was born in a cave, and then he was put in a manger, which is carved out of stone, and he was like wrapped in cloth. And Jesus was here for 33 years before his death, burial, and resurrection. And so what do we celebrate at Christmas? Why are we excited that Jesus came here? Why did he come here? He came here so that we could stand back up after we fall. No more depressed stance. And at Christmas, we celebrate that we can get back up again no matter what you've done. We celebrate that God can shine his light through the darkness that a lot of times that we bring on ourselves. And at Christmas, we celebrate that. And so this Christmas, just find things to celebrate, just in little moments. Like when you're like putting lights on the outside of your tree, you know, just celebrate that Jesus is the light of the world. Just have that moment and celebrate that. When you're putting the ditto sign on the outside of your house because your neighbor out-Christmased you, just celebrate all the darkness that God has brought you through in your life. When you're at like Walmart, Lord help you, okay? When you're there, and you're buying like that perfect gift, like the Instant Pot. Just remember, the only reason we exchange gifts at all is because God sent his son, Jesus, who is the perfect gift. And just take all these moments to celebrate and trade obligation for celebration. And look for the light in the middle of that. Just surround yourself with people who are going to give you joy, give you peace. And I'm telling you, the darkness that you're in is going to it's going to get brighter and brighter, and that light is going to shine through. And the last thing is this, is you need to share the light. At Christmas time, you got to share the light. Now, this summer, I was preaching up here one day, and there was a family sitting right in this second row, which, by the way, first and second row people. I love first and second row people. Thank you guys for sitting up here. And I love you guys as well. Not as much, but I like this. I'm just kidding. But they're sitting in the second row, and they were here. I've never seen them here before. And so directly after the service, I got done preaching. I went right over to them, and I introduced myself. And the guy said, my name is Butch. And I was like, they named you right, Butch. And Butch is like big. Like he could crush me in my skinny jeans. He's this big dude. And he told me he was an Eagles fan. So that day, I stopped making Eagles jokes because Butch is big, okay? Like, not going to mess with Butch. And I talked to him. I talked to his wife, Amy, and she's super sweet. I talked to her son, Eric, who's in high school, and I got to know them. And I was like, hey, how did you guys get here? And they said, well, a guy named Harold, and Harold comes here. Harold had invited them like 6 or 7 times to come. And then finally, a girl named Jenny, who comes here, had invited them, and so they decided to come, and they were sitting right there. And so they kept coming. I kept on seeing them on the second row, and over time, Amy would talk to me, and Amy would tell me that her son, Eric, who came with her every time, he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe that there was a God, and he would just come because his friend Harold invited him, and he would sit here, and he'd pay attention and just kind of hang out, but he didn't believe any of this stuff. And so then in September, we had our big baptism party celebration, which my favorite Sunday of the year. I love that Sunday. And so we're just baptizing people. 19 of you guys came up to get baptized that day. And so it was just an amazing, amazing morning. And my arm's getting tired from baptizing everybody. And I baptized one of our volunteers here, Josh Whitehead. And then right after Josh got out of the baptism, I saw the next person in line, and it was Eric, who had walked in the morning that morning, or walked in the basement that morning as an atheist. And now he's in line to get baptized. And so here's a picture of Eric's baptism moment right here. And I asked Eric what I asked everybody in the baptism. Well, I said, hey, Eric, are you a Jesus follower? And Eric answered it uniquely. He said, yes, sir, I'm a Jesus follower. And then I got to baptize Eric, and you guys lost your mind. And I just was like, this guy walked in not believing there was a God, and now he's walking out as a Jesus follower, and he's baptized. And I just had this like amazing moment. And now Eric is here almost every Sunday, sitting on the first or second row. And if he's not there, he's sitting on the back doing, because he's a volunteer with us now. And he volunteers in the back. And Eric, he brings a posse with him. Like all his friends are with him, okay? Because he brings them with him. And even though his family roots for the wrong bird, okay? It's the wrong one, okay? Ravens guy here. Anyway, they're here because of an invite from Harold and an invite from Jenny. And you never know what Jesus can do with one invite. You never know what Jesus can do when you just say to somebody, hey, you want to come to church with me this Christmas? Now, don't tell them we're in a basement. That's the surprise at the end, okay? Like they get here like, oh. Anyway, but maybe you need to ask somebody to come here. Maybe you need to ask somebody again. Harold invited them 6 or 7 times for them to come. And what can Jesus do with a simple invite? He can do what he did in Eric's life. He can shine through your darkness. And listen, okay, one of the things that I love about Christmas, and one of the things that makes Christmas merry and bright, is when we make it merry and bright for other people. That's what we do when we exchange gifts. That's what people do when they're opening gifts. But one of the things that you can do is make it merry and bright for somebody by inviting them and bringing them here to church, by sharing the Christmas story with somebody, by sharing your story with somebody, by sharing what Isaiah said about Jesus 700 years before he was born, and one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We'll throw this up there. It's Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. For a child is born to us. Let that sink in, to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. And so you don't need that massage because it's not all on your shoulders. The government's going to rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. That is Christmas. And somebody in this room needs to hear that, because that's going to light up your darkness this Christmas. Guys, he is wonderful. He is mighty. He is everlasting. He is peace. And again, maybe you needed to hear that this morning. But maybe you need to bring somebody here next week so they can hear that next weekend. What if instead of a Christmas wish list this year, you had a who can I share the Christmas story with and bring them to church with me list this year? Because I have this crazy idea that when we get plugged into Jesus, our life starts to get better and brighter and better and brighter and better and brighter. I'm not saying the circumstances in your life get better, but when Jesus is in your life, you have a hope that nothing else can give you. And so maybe there's somebody you can bring to church with you next weekend or one of our Christmas experiences on the 23rd or 24th. Monday night, I said we got back from Mexico really, really late, and our kids were already in bed, and we were like ready to go to bed, and we wanted to see our kids, but they were already asleep, and so we went to bed. And we woke up on Tuesday morning, and somehow when we woke up, like Nora was laying on top of all of us. And I was like, I didn't even know when she came in here. And I woke up because my boy Nixon like burst in a room, and he was like, good morning. I was like, the siesta is officially over, because they didn't go with us to Mexico. And so anyway, we were hugging on them. We were so excited to see our kids. And so one of the first things my boy Nixon said is he said, I'm going to get my own house, and I'm going to live by myself. I was like, wow. I mean, we go to Mexico for a week and you're gone? Like, what'd your grandparents say to you? Like, but my daughter Nora, so he said that. And then Nora said, I'm never moving out. And I was thinking, yeah, you are. It might not be your choice, but that day is coming. But I said, you're never moving out. I said, are you going to take care of me when I'm old then if you're living here? And she said, yes, I am. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. And I said, Nora, I don't think you know what you're signing up for. I said, like, when I get old, Nora, like, right now, I know I'm real handsome, and I'm happy, and everything is good, but there's going to come a day when I'm old, and I'm grumpy, and I'm saggy, and I'm leaky. You going to be ready for all that? Like, and she said, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. And it was just like this sweet moment with Nora. And when I think about Jesus and his love for us, I think it's a lot like that. When things are not good and when things are good, he's like, I'm going to be with you through it all. I know what I'm signing up for. And whatever you're facing, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And at Christmas, Jesus knew what he was signing up for when he showed up here. He knew that he was showing up in a dark world so that he could light up the dark. And he wanted to light up the dark. He wants to light up the dark in your life this Christmas. He wants to light up the dark in your situations this Christmas. And he wants to shine his light through you this Christmas. Because Jesus has this way of making things merry and brighter when we simply just plug into him. So let me pray for you guys. Maybe you're here today and you've never plugged in to Jesus, but you want to plug into him today. And I'm telling you, that's the best decision you can make and such a great choice. And if that's you, would you just, no one's looking around, but would you just raise your hand right now that you want to accept Jesus and you want to plug into him this Christmas season? Anybody want to do that this morning? I see these hands going up in this room. There's a lot of hands, actually. We're just going to say this prayer out loud. If you're a Jesus follower, I would like you to just say this out loud. And if you're one of the five people who just raised your hand, just say this out loud with us together. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming here 2,000 years ago. Thank you for being the light in a dark world. Today, Jesus, I accept you as the Son of God and my Savior. I believe I'm a sinner. I have darkness, but you're the light in my darkness. I believe in you, and I follow you today. In your name, amen.